This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are sipping on some Spiteful IPA as we talk about great taste of Midwest, Brickstone out in Bourbonnaise, Maple Tree and Blue Island Beer Company, and then we get excited for the new taproom law that got changed in Illinois. All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're back after a great weekend of drinking. There was a lot going on. We made it across state lines, into the suburbs. We were all over the place.
Having ourselves a proper summer, man. Mm-hmm. You know?
Definitely. Before we get into all of that, we're going to talk about the beer we're drinking right now on this episode. We've got the Spiteful IPA.
Have you had this beer before?
I have. It's been a little while. I know they were at the Friday Night Lights that I went to the other week ago. I think we've only had the lager on the episode, right? Or on the podcast. I don't know if we've had the Spiteful IPA before, but...
What do you call these little diamonds? This is in the clothing. They do them in clothing, too. All their beers have these little diamonds. And they got a thing for elephants, too. Like, this elephant has a human body. And I had the Spiteful Lager at Great Taste. And the Spiteful Lager has an elephant and the... Oh, same thing. Where the...
You had the IPA.
The tusk is cut off.
And the lager as well?
It's the same thing. Exact okay. Same thing. What is it? What is this thing about, like, cutting off the tusk of the elephants? Like, the elephants are dripping blood in the last two Spiteful beers I had.
I don't know, yeah. But yeah, it's a tasty beer. It's an easy drinking 6.5% beer.
So it's a proper IPA.
Yeah.
This is good.
Classic IPA.
We had to start calling the IPAs we grew up on.
Back in my day, IPAs were bitter and grassy.
Yeah, classic IPA.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it feels like it's just a very refreshing beer. It's great. I know a lot of people go nuts for Spiteful stuff, and talking to them at Friday Night Flights, just I don't have their beer enough.
That's so true. Six yeah. packs too. Mm. None of that four pack tall boy stuff.
Yeah.
Nice old school six pack.
For sure.
I dig it. Oh, they're right next door to Half Acre.
Yeah, definitely. So if you're going to both of those, then you need, or if you're going to one, you have to go to the other, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, check them both out. Cool. So yeah, we're going to sip on this as we chat about our past weekend here. Nick, I think you had the big one that you went to. You went to the Great Taste of the Midwest.
Dude, for the first time in like 4 years.
Yeah.
So I was excited, man. Up in Madison, what sucks is that usually, parties are all week. So mm-hmm. you go up there, you hang for at least 3, maybe 4 days. I had a really short trip. I got in and out.
Okay.
But it was still a great time. So, I don't know, maybe 5,000 people on this lake.
Yeah, right? It's not crazy packed, but there's a good amount of people there.
Yeah, yeah. And what I like is that everyone who, all the brewers show up for this thing, mm-hmm. which is cool. I ran into Grant Johnston, who used to brew at Argus, right? And okay. But before that, he won like 17. He didn't win anything at Argus, but he won like all these gold medals at JBF when he brewed in California.
Okay.
He's from Madison. He's old school. Big mustache, tucks his T-shirt into his jeans, right?
Oh, like, one of those guys.
One of those guys. Yeah. So I'm like, man, I'm here as a civilian this year. He's like, so am I.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I was like, yeah, man, I love this party, man. You were telling me you haven't been to a better party than this. He's like, if there's a better party than this, I'd like to see it. You mm-hmm. know? And that's the sentiment. You know, what I noticed this year is that all these little bands are all over the place. It's like a little four-piece band, mm-hmm. and, you know, they got everything from a bass to a xylophone, but they're just sprinkled throughout this park. And everywhere you turn, at the end of the tents, everyone's got this little band that plays.
Oh, cool.
Which I really dig.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, how was it from going 4 years ago to going today? Like, what did you notice as far as the change, or did it feel like the same festival that it's always been?
Yeah, you know, Brewer's Hour, there's a margarita truck that rolls around. Not margarita. It's a Bloody Mary truck.
Okay, yeah.
Bloody Mary truck that rolls around every Friday, the Friday before the fest. All the brewers get together and party at a children's museum. Right. So if you go as a civilian or a citizen, you don't get to experience any of this, right? Because it's open. Okay. Gates open at 1, but everyone, all the brewers are doing their thing from noon to 1.
Okay. Right?
So if you can ever go as – you would, the thing to do would be go as that.
As a brewer.
As a brewer.
You have to typically have a brewery or be pretty damn good friends with a brewer that you're pouring and yeah.
That's how you want to go. So I didn't get to do any of that. So what I did was I showed up that day instead of early. Mm-hmm. So I hung out at New Glarus a lot in like the first hour.
Okay.
Right? Because like if I had gone early, I would have gone to the brewery. But instead, I just hung out and drank a lot of their beers.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, Strawberry Rhubarb and Champagne Rouge. And, you know, they had a creek this year, just like Dovetail.
Oh, nice.
So I didn't really make it to that part, but...
All of those beers, they're great. They're tasty beers. Mm-hmm. I don't want a bottle. I don't want a six-pack. I want a taste. Thank you. And I'm good with, like, all of those Strawberry Rhubarbs, the... cherries, every one of them, and they used to come in big ass bombers,
raspberry tart.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think they realize, oh yeah, people would rather have smaller bottles and maybe share them with two people or one person take these down, because one person taking down a giant bomber of a strawberry tart, raspberry tart is
it looks cool too. Yeah. You know, it's got the it's dipped in wax. You know, they got the elegant green bottle, and it's big, big format. It looks really cool, but yeah.
But you might as well eat an entire pack of Pixie Sticks yourself.
It is, maybe. I'm not gonna. It's like a sharing. I'm not gonna disagree.
It's almost like a sweet wine. You need to share them.
Yeah.
And so having them, I think, at a fest like that, where you can have a little. Great taste of the Midwest glass pour of them, and you're like, yeah, I had my raspberry tart for the year.
And, you know, they inspire, I might be out of place saying this, but I feel like they inspire new breweries the way that, you know, some of the old world breweries inspired American craft brewers, right? I think, like, a lot of people kind of look at them as a model of how to, like, pull off big IPAs and these big fruit integrated and wild ales, right? A lot of new breweries, 5 years and younger, kind of point to them as the example of what to be like. And then they don't sell outside of Wisconsin.
Right, which is nuts. So when you go to Wisconsin for a fest like this, or just you're in the area, you have to get New Glarus beer, right?
Yeah. Big book this year, 103 pages. I like that they, what they do? Oh, they identified the rookies. They identified them in the catalog as well as at the booths.
Oh,
when you go to the booth, the rookie's got a big orange sign that says, hey, this is my first year here.
Who were some standout rookies that you saw?
Man, you know, I didn't hit any of the rookies.
Byway Brewing in Indiana.
Yeah, there's a crew called Seven Hills in Dubuque, Iowa. Yeah, so I ended up...
Oh, Only Child?
They're a rookie. Only Child. Only Child was a rookie this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, you know, the first thing I hit... It's weird, these parties. First thing I hit was sometimes you want to say hi to the local breweries. And sometimes you just want to hit them just because you never get to go.
Right.
Half Acre's not one of those brews for me. But I went anyway because I wanted to try the saturated double Daisy Cutter.
Okay.
Yeah, so I went there first. Yeah, and then I went to New Glarus. And then, you know, I think I was in a line for something else. And my buddy pulled me out to go try Barrel-Aged Abraxas, which I've never had.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I'm just covering my bases at this point, right? No, nothing, discovering nothing new.
Sure, okay.
You know, I think I went and got a few beers from Floyd's, right? That kind of thing. Oh, but yo, man, you know, I didn't really like Barrel-Aged Abraxas like I thought I would.
Okay. You know? Was it because of the event itself, or just it wasn't tasting, you weren't feeling it?
It wasn't, you know, I thought the OG, the original Abraxas is better.
Okay.
It felt forced. I didn't feel like it was well integrated. I kind of feel like it kind of felt to me like, you know, like I put... A few drops of whiskey in original Abraxas.
Ooh, okay.
You know? And I didn't really like that feeling. You know, because later on, the one crew that Toppling Goliath was the one I tried that I was excited about. My buddy Alex is like, yo, you got to go try a Term Oil, which I believe is their Assassin. That's their BA Stout. Assassin with coffee.
Okay.
Is Term Oil. Yeah. And there was a layered in a way that I could appreciate it, you know. It didn't taste like you forced some whiskey onto this cool stout. It kind of felt like the whiskey played. it played better with the other flavors in the stout. I thought
cool. Okay.
These other places. So, yeah. Dude, I didn't really like the stuff that Floyd's brought. I'm here as a grumpy man, old man to sounds tell you.
Like, I didn't like PA. I don't like Three Floyds. Give me this spiteful IPA. I'm going to tuck my shirt in.
I'm going to tuck my shirt in and let all my gray hair show and my mustache and just start telling you all the shit I don't like at these parties. But like, so Spiteful had the Mrs. O'Leary's chocolate milk stout with raspberries, right? Mm-hmm. Loved it, right? And then I went over, what did I try that I didn't like? I tried a couple sours that I didn't like. The Unani sour.
Yeah.
I was like, bring it on, man. The Le Grand, what is this shit called?
Yeah.
That one. It had currants and raspberries. I'm like, bring it on. But it was all like all one note, just okay. Kind of tart. You didn't really get anything ripe. And I'm like, yeah, this kind of tart, acidic, and vinegary. And I guess that's some people's jam. I kind of wanted a little more versatility, right?
Okay.
Yeah, but enough of that. I went to Microphone. Microphone had a lot of cool stuff that I really liked. Where else did I go?
Were they mainly bringing their New Englands, or were they busting out those barrel-aged stuff? Because they have some barrel-aged beers, right?
I was actually surprised to see how many people brought barrel-aged beers to this thing. Yeah. So where's Microphone here? Microphone had Softly Spoken Lies in a barrel.
Okay.
Then a barrel-aged Velvet Coffee Ground. They brought the chicken and waffles beer that they made with Hailstorm.
Okay.
I missed that. I was curious.
Man, Metro has a huge page there. Lots of description going on.
Yeah. That Heliostat, the Zwickel Lager, is always really good. And then that their Schwartz beer. Mm-hmm. I think the Schwartz beer is my favorite of all the beers they make.
Yeah.
It's probably that Schwartz beer.
Yeah. So it was like, what, 90 degrees that day?
It was high 80s.
And then you're looking at this list. I'm looking afterwards. I didn't go. There's a lot of stouts. Goose Island was like all stouts and, Next Coast IPA.
Yeah.
Which, why wouldn't you bring something else to just kind of showcase all these nerds know your barrel-aged stouts? Like, bring something else. Give them something else, right? They all have probably cellar full of Bourbon County proprietors and whatever else. Like, give them something else that they don't want to spend some money on. But it seems like the majority of this list was a barrel-aged stout.
Goose didn't bring that. To your point, and I agree with you, Goose didn't bring the sisters at all, according to this list.
Right.
Yeah. That's weird, right?
I think a little bit, especially because they're a high price point that maybe people don't pick up. That's one good thing about all these fests. A lot of these barrel-aged beers are a very high price point at $20, sometimes $30 a bottle, so it's nice to get a little taste. Mm-hmm. But the sisters are one of those where they're $20, and sometimes I just want a little Lolita taste.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, so how was that being 90 degrees and all these stouts?
Oh, dude, I was slapped. I didn't even, by the time I got to, because, I mean, we talk about Vlad Coconut from Hailstorm. Mm-hmm. And I've been chasing the coconut high for a long time.
Yeah.
So they're there, and then the whole we have it at four thing. So it's one. You make your way around this thing once, and by the time 4 o'clock hits, you forgot that you're supposed to be in line.
Right. And you couldn't even make it back there if you wanted to.
Right. You couldn't make it back if you wanted to. Yeah.
But so how was the amount of stouts? Like, what'd you feel about that? Like, did you feel like you were stout overload, or what about it?
I feel like the first thing I tried was when I got there was Rev. Rev, they had a couple of their session sours on. I want to say one was peach and the other one was strawberry rhubarb. They were freedom of expression, they call them, right? So first thing I got going was with some lighter seasonal offerings, right? And then I found the off-color guys. It's weird. We're talking about the great taste of the Midwest, and then I'm running around looking for all the Chicago stuff because it's all the Chicago stuff that I don't make it to the brewery in time to get.
Right.
So like Wildings from Off Color, which was the blueberry one, which was really fucking nice, man. I kind of wish I had a bottle of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the second beer I got was from Kunin, and I love the Kunin guys because they dressed up as the Ming Dynasty the first time I ever went to Great Taste.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, and then
Kunin stuff in the early, I guess, craft beer days, like about 10 years ago,
yeah,
they were this like thing you were chasing. Like Kunin beers were just like white whales for a while.
Yeah, a couple. I remember this Double Rice IPA is one of the first ones I had from them. They did a really big Eisbach one year that I dug.
Oh, cool.
But the first thing I did was this Immortal Undead Cherry Perry Mead, right?
Oh, wow.
So okay. And it's 10%. But it's got like orange blossom, honey, you know, and it's doing all the moves you like. You know, you want tart and you want sweet. None of this acidic vinegary shit only, right? So there was like, it wasn't like a full on summertime stout fest.
Okay.
But there were a lot of stout options if you wanted. One of my favorites that's out of market is there's a Mexican honey lager from Indeed Brewing.
Okay.
And we went up to Minnesota for Prince, when Prince's museum opened, the Paisley Park Turner Museum.
You've gone like 20 times.
I went at least twice. Yo, but I fell in love with that beer. So okay. I got that beer. So for me, it was all about like, it was less about discovery. It was more about let me try these beers that I read about and don't drink. And then let me get reacquainted with beers I've had but haven't had in a while because it's been 4 years.
Okay.
So that was kind of my angle on this.
And part. Then so I saw a few pictures from some other friends that went, how are the lines? Like, beer people love to stand in line to get beer.
Yeah.
So was there a lot of lines to get some of these? Did everyone have a line? Could you walk up to most booths?
There would be some scenarios like, well, Chemtrail Mix from Floyd's went on. Mm-hmm. It goes on at 2, so you're in line, and by the time you get to the front of the line, some of your friends are like, well, I'm going to go find out what's going on, and then Chemtrail's out. Right?
Okay.
So now you're in line, and what do you do? Because the beer you want is out.
Yeah.
So like in my case, I think I got something like Battle of Charro. It was like a cherry-flavored IPA with Brett.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Because you waited in line for that beer.
Because you waited in line for another beer. So it's like, oh, we don't have those. We have OG Dark Lord. Or like, I got back in line for a Barrel Age of Braxis. You know, I'm like, let me try this again. You know, and it was fun. But then it's like, oh, we're out of that. But we got this Saison Brett thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of that.
But you need a buddy, too, if you're waiting in line,
you
right?
need a buddy, yeah.
Because someone goes and fills up a couple, and you hold the spot.
Exactly. What did I do? Oh, I got to talk a little bit with Mike Palin for a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying how, because, you know, because a lot of his beers, inspired by music is his thing. But then I was like, do people give you shit? Because sometimes, you know, I don't know, do people fuck with you about like, hey, why are you doing that on that beer?
Right? Yeah.
And he was like, no, man. He said he had, what did he say? There's a Berliner he came out with some berries in it. He called it Mom Spaghetti. And he said that Eminem signed a poster of Mom's Spaghetti for him.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm like, that's pretty cool. People are excited. And he was like, yeah, man, you know, I used to want to work at some of these places that I liked to party at, but it never worked out. Remember, he was he was at Break Room for a little bit. And,
yeah.
You know, and he's like, dude, I'm just starting my own thing. You know, and I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, what else did I do up there? It's a great taste, man. I think those are the core things I did. I get to talk to Revolution Don for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. Because apparently he used to live in my neighborhood, Rogers Park, so we're talking like music at this point, and he's telling me about the night like Stevie Ray Vaughan died, and you know, and then he's like, Nick, we don't wait in lines here, you know, you got to drink this Coron. So I was like, this is the one that Brad had. He's like, nah, I think that's the one that's coming out.
Right, I think that's the one we voted on and said it would be the winner, but I think a mix with the whatever I said. I'd have to go back and listen to my ramblings on that episode.
So. Death by Courants was really good. I got the Hailstorm, the coconut was gone. I got the berry one. I got I think it was Vlad with blueberries.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
All right. So. Whew. Great taste, man.
Oh, Brad, why you let me talk so long, man?
I don't know. A lot of questions about great taste. People wanted to hear about it.
But yeah, man.
Anything else you hit up while you were up in that area?
No.
No. Okay.
No, and I think that's why I spent so much time. At New Glarus. And to be honest, I wish I would have explored and learned about more breweries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I didn't. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, while you went, I guess, that way in the state / direction, I went the other way. I went south. You went kind of north.
Yeah, like northwest.
I don't know, like poor, northwest. I went southwest.
What are you doing southwest, man?
I went to see why they weren't included. Brickstone.
Oh, you went down to Verdant?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I know why they're not included in this.
As far as the motherfucker.
As far. There's like multiple rest stops.
Oh, man.
If there's rest stops on the road to get there, yeah, you're not a suburb anymore. So I can understand Beermiscuous exclusion of them.
That's funny.
Because you drive out to like Naperville or even Gurnee, mm-hmm. there's no rest stops. There, because there's stuff built. There's things to stop at.
Yes.
There's nothing to stop at in Bourbonnais. Oh, so you gotta stop at the rest stop if you need a break. But it's like a little over an hour, so it's not too bad.
Wow.
But it feels like a mini. It doesn't feel like going to the suburbs because it's not. If you qualify Naperville as a suburb or not, either that's your own thing. But it feels like a mini road trip.
Yeah.
At that point, you're just like, oh, well, that was a mini road trip, so it wasn't that bad.
You're reminded at how big Illinois is when you go to places like Kankakee, Bourbonnais.
Yeah.
Right.
So we went down there. We went down there, one, to go to Brickstone, and then we went over to the Kankakee River and flew the drone for a little bit. So just some different scenery.
Right on.
Brickstone, it's like rock bottom.
There's the restaurant. And then there's the brewery, the facility.
Yeah.
Production facility, like across the street.
Okay. We only went to the restaurant.
Yeah.
It's basically a rock bottom.
It's a family restaurant, right?
Yeah. So lots of locals, lots of old men there. Like that was the group that was there. But when you roll into Bourbonnais, every place has a sign, "Welcome Bears fans, go Bears, welcome Bears." So that's pretty funny.
That's kind of before the brewery. That's kind of their claim to fame, right? It's like every preseason, what do you call it? Summer camp.
Yeah.
Is there.
The training camp.
Training camp for the Bears is always down there.
Yeah. So we went in there. We had a couple beers. I had the Haze, which was tasty. I think it's in cans as well now, so I might have to look out for it. I had one of their other New England IPAs. They have a lot of beers. I've had a handful, like the APA, and I don't even know what else, but it's just kind of overwhelming when you roll in there. You just drove for an hour, and like, what do you want? It's like, I don't know. What do you have?
What do people drink down here?
I need a minute. Also, you're an hour away, so I don't want that 12% stout.
Yeah. I don't know, Brad. I might have went for that 12% stout.
Well, I was chasing the haze.
I had a haze. And they've been getting into that game a lot lately. Mm-hmm.
So they call it the Triple H, haze.
Love it.
Yeah. It was good. And we also got pork rinds, which the size of the pork rinds, most ridiculous thing.
Like fucking elephant ears?
No, like the actual pork rinds, to eat them normal size. The plate they came on was giant.
Oh, you just got like a big amount.
Yeah. Like if you've seen like big nacho plates. Okay. Like someone next to us ordered nachos. We're like, oh my God, our pork rinds were big. I can only imagine how big their nachos are. Nope. Our pork rinds were a bigger pile than their nachos. And it was like $6.
I'm like, you ordered the pork rinds. Here you go.
We couldn't even eat all the pork rinds.
That's how we eat our pork rinds.
There's just too many pork rinds to eat.
Pork rinds, they come solo, right? They don't come with stuff, right?
Yeah,
they
you can get like hot sauce.
Okay.
Dip them if you want, but or put it on there. But yeah, so I had some pork rinds and some haze down in Bourbonnais.
What is Brad Chmielewski doing in fucking Bourbonnais, Kankakee, man? That's funny.
Then on the way back, we decided we were going to stop at Maple Tree Inn, which is in Blue Island.
Oh, right on.
So they're a New Orleans restaurant.
Yes.
Maeve and I had been talking about hitting it up for a while, so we went there for dinner. Definitely a great spot to go to eat.
I tell you, man, that's one of the best restaurants that I've been to, kind of period, and it just happens to be in Blue Island.
Mm-hmm. And it was just written up in the Trib as, like, they gave it, like, a big shout-out and write-up, whatever it was. I didn't read it, but I saw it. I was like, I'm going there. I know it's good. I don't need to hear about it. But you can't go to Blue Island then without stopping at the brewery.
The Blue Island Beer Company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we stopped in there. Brian and his wife were there. Mm-hmm. They had a band playing that night. They had a violinist. She was opening, 13-year-old violinist.
Man.
She was good.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
And that's one of those places where, like, the tap room is really cool. But then, like, you go to the back, and then, like, it's almost like a little village.
Yeah.
The place is huge.
Well, the band was playing in the front.
Okay.
So there was, I don't know, a handful, a couple dozen people in there. Not like packed, not like packed, but all the seats were full. It wasn't a Saturday night in Chicago, but it seemed like there was a good amount of people there for what you would expect from Blue Island. Some great beers on. I had the Red Ale, which was awesome. Maeve had she did a shanty, so blended their cherry lime with one of their other beers, which was really good. People were doing that. Mm-hmm. I have one of their cans. I should have brought it. They are now doing 12-ounce cans of like some of their house beers and stuff. So that's nice. It's really cool to see. I know they have the 16-ounce beers for more of their like major runs, but then house beers are like 12-ounce cans.
Right on. You're seeing a 12-ounce and 16-ounce run from them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's maybe, yeah, house beers, but probably lower ABV stuff in the 12-ounce cans. Yeah. But I don't know what their rule is. But, yeah, everything was great. But then after, like, you know, drive an hour to Bourbonnais, have a couple beers there, eat, have a beer, a couple beers at Blue Island. Could have kept drinking, but I was like, I have to make it still the rest of the way back home.
Gotta get back home.
So that was my Saturday. While you were up northwest, I was down southwest.
You went to the other end, man.
Yeah.
I can dig it, man. Real quick, shout out to Columbus Tap. I went there last week. It's right downtown, steps from Millennium Park. So they have a really cool program. Because, like, it's a hotel. It's the Fairmont Chicago. It's a hotel bar. But they have this very odd, like, not odd, it's different, brewery aesthetic where there's barrel kegs. Mm-hmm. They have a growler option on the menu.
Oh, cool.
And then they got 16 taps and it's all, like, Chicago beer.
Nice.
And I'm like, so, yeah, so we went out there and the Scratch Kitchen, you know, I think we had some crab fritters as an appetizer versus, like, some kind of standard fare. And, yeah, like, seasonal desserts and a nice burger. But, yeah, if you happen to be over there, like, I know one of my kids goes to school right there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you happen to be over there for a meeting or something, like, because Millennium Park, let's be honest, you know, you don't really hang out in Millennium Park.
If you live
here, you don't hang out over there. But if you're over there, a lot of those bars suck because they give you, like, frozen fucking pint glasses and the same, you know, top 10 brewers in the country bullshit tap list. And these guys make an effort to give you stemware and dive a little deeper and give you a local experience. So
so
cheers to those guys, man. I went to that.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, low key, when they opened 2 years ago, they had a collab on they're opening for the first time. It used to be a nightclub called the Aria. They changed it to Columbus Tap. And then they go do a collaboration saison with Maplewood as their house beer.
Oh, cool!
When life gives you kumquats, a kumquat saison.
So, oh, nice!
I mean, they're just they're more thoughtful than most hotel bars over there.
Oh, so, awesome!
Right on.
Nice. Anything else you check out then?
Oh, when we got back, I went down to South Burbs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a place called Doc's Barbecue that we went to go hang out at. So, dude, this place isn't. First of all, it's in Mokena. Mokena is Will County, so it's.
Yeah.
I think it's right before you get to Kankakee. Like, I don't know. So I'm like, well, what's after? Because I've never been this far south. I'm like, well, what the fuck's? It's like New Lenox is next, and then after that, I think it's like rural Illinois for a little bit.
Then Kankakee.
Yo, so this place Docks, right?
Yeah.
It's a barbecue joint in a strip mall, and they got 200 whiskeys, and they got 60 beers on tap.
I'm like, what is happening right now? I probably couldn't name 10 or a dozen whiskeys, let alone 200 whiskeys.
Yeah, and like, you know, like something about seeing 200 whiskeys on the wall is like I start wagging my tail. I'm like, man, this place. You got to tell me more about why this is happening.
I guess, but man, you could probably divide that by like every whiskey has 5 different years.
Yeah.
Right. So
yes.
You got like you could say young whiskey, maybe what, 2 year, 5 year, 10, 8, 12, and then like and then, sometimes like a 25 or some 20.
Yeah. So I noticed that the most expensive ones were the
so there's maybe 50 brands?
Yeah. To your point, because there's like a Woodford Reserve had like 4 or 5 and you know, that kind of thing. Whistle Pig. They said their Whistle Pig pours for $96 an ounce. I was like, wow.
What? Who in the South Burbs are coming there and be like, Give me that $96 whistle pig.
Let me get that whistle pig. You know, the one, not the other ones. Let me get the one.
Yeah.
So apparently, right? And that's to say, I had a similar question, right? Because, you know, once you get past, like, okay, hickory wood and 16 hours on the brisket, right? Like, how are you, what's going on here, right? I know I've said that like 3 times. Oh, but he's like, no, man, because I, so for example, in Midlothian, Illinois, 147th and Cicero, mm-hmm. right? And now we're a little further south, you know, 191st. But these are drastically different locations. And I'm like,
yeah.
He's like, listen, man, the houses out here are a little more expensive. You know, the new Lenox, the Tinley Park, Mokena area. Houses are a little more expensive. And then more importantly, when people go to the liquor store, they don't want beers on tap that they could find at their local liquor store. Right. So you're kind of your customer base is kind of challenging you to have like limited run beers. And then I guess that expands into the whiskey.
You know? Okay. Yeah, I guess that's a. Interesting.
How did this happen? Is what I asked.
Yeah.
Him. And he's like, well, you know, because, you know, Tribes Ale House is in Mokena.
Okay.
And, you know, Tribes is a really good bar. I think we were talking about Maple Tree Inn. Like, yeah. These are places, Tribes on the beer side and then Maple Tree, you could put them anywhere in the city and it would just be good no matter where it is. It just happens to be in the burbs.
Okay.
So Tribes, I think Tribes educated a lot of people there in Mokena. There's a place called Crafted that just opened in Mokena. Right. So Mokena's kind of got a palette that I think most towns that far out don't have. But then Tinley Park also has 3 breweries too. You know, Sound Growlers out there and Hailstorm.
Okay.
And, you know, 350. So it, you know, they jokingly, and it's not even jokingly, when you're on I-80 and you're leaving Tinley Park, it's like, thank you for visiting Beer Country. Come back soon. That's a 350 sign out there.
All right. So, I guess next time I'm not going to Bourbonnais anytime soon, but next time I'm thinking about going to the South, I should go by Tinley Park area.
I'm telling you, man, I was pleasantly surprised at how, you know, they're going out of their way. Like, there's a couple. I was looking it up in the pre-show. They have the proper pour. They have the digital boards.
Yeah, like links.
Yeah, like links does. And then, like, you know, when you check in, your face pops up, and then if you Foursquare and Untappd and Twitter, it all pops up on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's a strip mall, but then they occupy 3 spaces in the strip mall.
Oh, nice.
Because the former owners were all friends and they operated it as 3 different businesses. But now Docs has this, they have this space where it's 3-in-1 essentially. So you can put like 400 people in this place.
Oh, wow.
And there's like multiple different private rooms and a big main dining room.
Man, you're selling this place. How's the barbecue before I like?
Yeah, we went burn-in Sunday.
Okay.
So proper burn-in.
Burnt-in Sunday, that's the thing.
That's the thing. They do happy hour on 3 at 3 o'clock. They open at noon, and they do burn-ins only on Sundays.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a proper barbecue joint. I mean, I judge barbecue joints by their sides, right?
Okay.
So, you know, if your pickles and your baked beans and your mac and cheese is all pretty good, then you're all right.
Coleslaw?
And coleslaw.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would say this place is really good.
Getting hungry.
Yeah.
All right. And then you went to Sound Growler, too, because it's right there, right?
Because I'm already out there, you know? Yeah.
Man, you made it all over. Like, I made it far to Bourbonnais, but you were in Wisconsin. And then the South Side.
So Sound Growler, so the guys at Doc's Barbecue were talking up Sound Growler. They were like, yeah, you know, the dude used to work at Floyd's. And his kid used to sell beer for Solemn Oath, so they dropped all that and they went to start their own project.
Okay.
So I went over there. And you walk in and they're playing like it was really violent sludge metal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what that dude was saying, it must be true.
Yeah, it does have that image that like, yeah, you look like you pulled some stuff from those guys. Okay.
Yeah, and then you know, I had I had some haze called the like Acid Flux, which I really dug.
Hmm.
I took an IPA to go that I didn't really care for that IPA.
Okay.
But the beer I had there was really good. And apparently this guy, I didn't meet anybody there. Apparently the guy spent some time at Fire Rabbit and Lagunitas. Yeah. And then you know the World Beer Championships happened this year. They took a gold for their for one of their beers.
Oh, nice.
There. So they're doing some good stuff. Yeah. They're doing some good stuff there, and they sell tacos.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, proper, like, onions and cilantro, corn tortilla, fucking double.
So you had a taco.
They sell tacos. Like, really.
But you just went and had barbecue.
What do you want from me, man? I've been drinking all day. What do you want me to do? They sell real tacos at this place too.
All right.
That place is cool. And then of course I went to Hailstorm. They're doing.
Damn.
I'm already out there, man.
Made it all over.
And then
Yeah, I was out there. I didn't go to any of those.
What are you doing in Bourbon Day? We haven't really talked about that.
I was going because we were talking. We kept talking about it, and it seemed silly it wasn't included.
Yeah.
Their beer is good.
Yeah.
And I was like wondering like, why not? And I was looking to fly the drone. I haven't flew it in a while.
Right on.
So.
Right on. So you know, wide open spaces.
Yeah.
Right. All right. And then you know, they remind me. I think their art. Frank Lloyd Wright has a few houses out in Bourbon.
I think so. Yeah.
And I think some of the can artwork is kind of like an ode to him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but they kind of remind me of like a hot forward version of Two Brothers, right?
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're you know, and a lot of people forget in 2012 when Chicagoland cleaned up at Great American Beer Fest, it was Fist City third, Zombie Dust second, and Brickstone's American Pale Ale took gold that year.
That APA is great, yeah.
they're sneaky good, those guys, yeah. So. I tell you, man, I think that's all I did, man.
That's all you did?
I think
okay.
So. Yeah.
Whew, with half hour of just recap and drinking. So what's happening this week? What are we getting to?
Man, we got a couple things going on this week. Taps Through Time is an event that's happening on a Thursday at House of Blues.
Mm-hmm.
I love House of Blues. I know it's a chain and it's in other cities. It's such a cool venue.
Yeah.
House of Blues is at 6 p.m. There's a conversation about like the history of craft beer in Chicago and a discussion about where it's going next.
Yeah, okay.
And then they invited some breweries out and all the brewery owners or brewers are going to come out too. So we're talking Half Acre, Goose Island, Spiteful Brewing, Solemn Oath, and I'm probably missing a few, right? Oh, and it's moderated by Josh Knoll, who works for the Tribune, and he recently wrote that book on Goose Island.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
So there's tickets available. How much are tickets?
Tickets are $15.
Okay.
And you can get that'll give you... There's a general admission ticket and a VIP ticket. The VIP ticket gets you sample pours of everything that these folks are bringing. Goose is bringing that Food of Red.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
And a couple of Bourbon Counties. And Metropolitan's going to be there, too.
They have an endless supply of Bourbon County. That's never brilliant. Wait in line for Bourbon County.
We were talking
just
about...
Just go to events that Goose Island will be there. They will have every Bourbon County forever.
First...
This one had a 2015 in here. 2014 Templeton Rye at the Great Taste.
You beat me to it. I was like, dude, no matter what party I go to in life, if Goose Island is there.
2015 Rare. That's not rare. You just showed up with it.
So that's Thursday at House of Blues downtown.
Okay.
Yeah. What else we got? Oh, Saturday is the Big North up at Half Acre.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, so that's a $70 ticket. That's their anniversary party.
That's got to be sold out.
I don't know.
Are
we going to this? I kind of want to go to this.
Their party's sold out. They sell out fast, right?
It's Half Acre.
Yeah.
Dude, Half Acre does a better job at being Three Floyds than Three Floyds does. Yeah, I mean, their IPAs are more interesting. You know, this mixed culture kick that they're on, all those things are really kind of... They're reminiscent of wine. They get me excited about drinking sour beers.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm this not a diss. I'm just saying. And, you know, because we were talking shit about Three Floyds at that barbecue joint. Because everybody that comes in there that far out, they want Zombie Dust.
Yeah,
and the
okay.
dudes are kind of like, fuck Zombie Dust. Fuck Bourbon County. Like, not in those words, but kind of. They were saying that. And I was saying to myself, like, it's actually like, you know, we forget that Three Floyds is 20 years old.
Yeah.
So of the breweries in Chicago that are 20 years old, how many of them are you really making your way out to go see,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, you're not making your way to Emmett's and fucking Downers Grove, nothing against them, right? So like of the walking giants that have been around for a long time, the one you're most excited about is Three Floyds. So, hey, if they come out with the same beer every year and they kind of get, and their concept gets a little dated, they've been around for 20 years is all I'm saying. We forget that.
Yeah, they're old men.
Yeah.
You know. That's true. If anyone in the suburbs needs Zombie Dust, just come to Chicago and go to any Whole Foods. There are stacks of Zombie Dust.
And, you know, bring 20 bucks.
Yeah, it's 20 bucks, but there's stacks of it. You can take as many as you want. Nobody cares. It's a great beer, but there's plenty of it. So, yeah. Oh, it is funny, people. The chase for this beer, when I see it all the time and I pass on it. I can't tell you the last time I've had Three Floyds Zombie Dust. It's great when I do have it, but I usually got to try all these new things, right? 20 years, I've had it.
Yeah, so like we're talking about like Apocalypse Cow and Brian Boru, and yeah, like the hunt for new is starting to become more important than going to find your old friend, mm-hmm. your old beer friend. You know, yeah, we want whatever's next now.
Right, but you probably have your standard that you keep in the fridge or you look for.
For sure. Nice. Yeah, so we got Taps Through Time Thursday, the Big North on Saturday.
Nice. Cool. That's about it then, right? For the events. There's definitely more. We're already running out of time here. Or we're not really running out of time. We have no time. We have all the time we want.
Yeah, we like to keep it a nice, neat bow, you know, 40 minutes, 30 minutes.
But we do want to mention this bit of beer news that is going to change tap rooms in Illinois.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that this was an issue for local brewers, man. It looks like the state of Illinois, Governor Rauner, he passed this law, 4897.
He signed this law.
Sorry, he signed the law.
Don't give him that much credit.
Stop building him up. He still fucking sucks. Hey, so basically, Illinois breweries can now purchase and sell guest beer and cider out of their tap rooms.
Right.
And that's a thing, apparently. I didn't know that.
So the bigger, the most important thing is it's not for Spiteful to start selling half-acre beer at their brewery. It's for the cider thing. Because I know something like Ballast Point, mm-hmm. I did a little meetup there, and people were like, oh, I'm gluten-free or I don't drink beer. They don't have any cider. They only have their beer.
Yeah.
Ballast Point does have some ciders, but not having the ability to either bring your ciders in or if you don't make them, to offer one on tap, this is going to be a boom to the cideries, especially in the local area, like Aris and Virtue and a few others.
I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess you're true. Like, cause we used to do the old brew bus route. On occasion, you know, we'd have these people that, you know, they buy a ticket for a beer tour, but then they're gluten-free, and they just want cocktails at, like, every single stop.
Yeah, and you're like, we're going to just going to a brewery, like, or a production brewery. Like, there's nothing here. They only have their beer.
Like, we're at Lake Effect. It's like, we can't get a cocktail. What do you want us to do? So we'll get you two cocktails at Haymarket.
Yeah.
But then you can't drink it the thirst. So this changes that.
Yeah.
You know, this changes that for tap rooms that don't have liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because places like Peace, other ones that had food, they already were able to use Haymarket. You know, they had food. They offered liquor. So they could already bring in guest taps. But
I know this is good for the cider people. And the cider people, even during cider week in the winter, they'll tell you that, hey, a cider category doesn't cannibalize beer. Like, mm-hmm. people are discovering other like beverages because of beer, you know, and the people who drink cider are going to go also drink beer.
Right.
So they're kind of saying like, hey, people drinking more cider is good for all of us.
Uh-huh. Or even if you're a brewery that offers like a lot of, if you're a sour brewery, you could have someone's IPA on that either you're friends with or that is popular enough to kind of cut through your stuff a little bit or offer that variety that you're not doing. You know, yes. That's something Unity did for themselves with Hubbard's Cave, because I'm sure people came in there and were asking, and maybe I'm blanking on his name, but he might have got bored and wanted to do some other stuff besides the sour beer. So
yeah,
I think this is a welcome change to the law.
Yeah. Right on. Also in news, we're talking about the party that that Josh Noel is going to be moderating. He wrote a story about how Anheuser-Busch is now the king of craft beers. And it sounds like the breweries that they've acquired they've actually sold more beer dollar-wise than the top craft breweries in the nation. So like that collection of breweries that they own sells more beer than Sierra Nevada, sells more beer than Boston Beer, which is Sam Adams.
Yeah.
So It's interesting.
Just Goose Island alone or the whole collection?
The whole group. So okay. That would be like 10 or so. So your Wicked Weeds and your Elysians and, you know, whoever else, Devil's Backbone, whoever else they bought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
10 Barrel.
10 Barrel. Yeah. So that's interesting. Like, I don't really get caught up in a lot of that kind of stuff. But I think, like, when he wrote that book about Goose Island, you know, he made it's probably soaked in that he just talks about Goose, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, well, I don't need all that Goose talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that's good about all that Goose talk is that it probably led him to write that piece. And that's something that I don't know if I would have written on my own. Like,
right.
The breweries at Goose, the breweries at AB Collected now collectively sell more beer than any individual craft brewery.
Interesting.
So, that story was in the Trib this week. So.
Nice. And then this one other bit of news that it's related to American craft beer is, so in Belgium, it's pretty warm right now. Like, it's pretty hot. So they're selling a lot of beer. Most of those Belgian breweries, their beer is in their glasses.
Yeah.
And your people recycle the beer or recycle those bottles. They take them back to the brewery. I don't know if they're reimbursed or get anything back or if they just do it as a zero waste kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's so hot, people aren't taking these beers back, taking these bottles back.
Okay.
So people are like, they're stacking up places. They're actually paying people to go, like, look for bottles. But Stone is out there.
Yeah, they're in Berlin, right?
Right, and they showed up, and they have cans. But cans are thought of as low-class beer in Belgium, in Europe.
Yeah.
Just like we saw in America, where people were like, no, my dad drinks Miller Lite out of cans. I drink craft beer. It's in bottles. It's in bombers. We pour them in glasses.
Right.
Yada, yada, yada. But these Belgian brewers, they don't have any beer to sell because they don't have any bottles to bottle their beer. And Stone's like, yo, we're here.
Like, don't even worry about it. We're going to bring all these bottles back to you so you can start selling your beer. They sound like a good neighbor.
Well, no, they're not bringing the bottles back.
Oh, they're not? What are they doing?
No, because they have beer in cans. So they aren't concerned about this bottle shortage.
They're just like, well, listen.
You
can buy our beer.
Yeah, we don't need bottles. We still have beer. So that's kind of nuts.
That's funny.
They may somehow or accidentally get, like, I don't know, part of the beer culture there just for the fact that people were lazy and couldn't return their bottles because it's too hot.
That's a thing. Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew?
All right. We should get out of here. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. We have the video version. Most of the time, this one, card got full, so only half video. But no video last week, but we got video this week. Facebook page, we're always posting events there. Instagram was blowing up this weekend. Pictures from the Great Taste, Bourbonnaise. You were doing Instagram stories on there.
For the first time ever.
That was fun. So check those out. And then we'll be back next week with another episode. As Nick is thumbing through this, I think he's got one more shout out to close it out here.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Burnt City, man. You know, I talked to those guys for 10 good minutes. And they brought like a series of like Brett inspired ales that were really fun.
Nice.
And I just wanted to say hi to those guys. So cheers.
Take care.